I should put my phone on Do Not Disturb. First. Amateur hour out here. All right, welcome to the second full episode of the Red Line Show with Pacific Exotics. I'm your host, Dylan O'Kell. We have a wonderful guest on. Luckily enough, we got to have him on before he leaves for good, forever. We're probably never going to see him again. Jack Ultramotive, welcome. Jack.
I'm happy to be here. Yeah. I'm honored to be your second guest, and I hope that this is the beginning of many more for you guys.
It definitely is. I hope this will be a good way to cap off your stay in Washington.
Yeah.
Do you have any more big plans or big things that you can speak of?
Okay, so I am not even gonna, like, this is actually, we're recording this on a Sunday. This is gonna be my last weekend here, sadly enough, too, because we're traveling out. In between, like, we should be packing up our house right now, but in between our move, which will be, like, next month, like, we have a couple other, like, trips or whatever, like, one of which is, like, down to Florida and all this kind of stuff. So, we don't even have that many days left that, like, I'll just, like, be out here. And honestly, the biggest bucket list thing that I always wanted to do that I may not be able to do was, like, bring my Murcielago to RTC.
I was waiting for you.
Yeah, that was always, like, I mean, I've been fortunate to bring a bunch of other like cool cars previously, but, you know, like, the LP640 is like a staple. It's like, yeah, it's just, it, there's, that car is on a different level, you know, and I think it fits in so well there. And yeah, I just, knowing the weather here, it most likely will not be on before early April, which is when we're set to,
yeah,
to pack
that's,
up.
I mean, early April, that's even like the first rain out.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows if we even,
yeah, that's if they're lucky.
Early April.
Yeah.
Man, when you get all emotional on that, you're
like, we're starting off on the wrong note.
Yeah, so you're moving down there soon. How are you planning to get down there? Can we speak about that? I know we speak.
Yeah,
about
yeah, yeah. Before. I'm planning on, we're going to have Haley's RAV4 with her stuff in it and some of our cats. And then we're going to have a giant, probably the biggest U-Haul size that they offer. We may not even need all of it, but we kind of are under the assumption that it's like, you should better to have more room than you need than less, for what it's worth. It's like $200 to, like, more to bump up to the next size. And it's like, it's worth it to have that extra size. So big U-Haul. And then, like, my Ford Raptor towing the Lamborghini Murcielago behind it on its way down. And those, like, three vehicles, technically four vehicles, like, all going down at once. I've never done this before. I've moved before. I've never moved to across the country, or at least to a different state or anything like that. And let alone, like, it's going to be kind of surreal because my entire life is just going to be on the road out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this house is going to be packed up in the truck, the cars.
Are you doing this, like, all just yourself and your friends? Or do you have, like, movers helping you?
It's just mainly, like, myself and my friends. Like, obviously, I'm going to be compensating them, but, like, because I'm lucky to have healthy young men around me. We're gonna make better, more efficient use of that rather than I mean, like, movers are freaking, like, super expensive.
They are expensive.
Like, insanely expensive.
Yeah, I remember I helped my buddy Beck move out of his little, like, apartment, and I remember, like, he rented a U-Haul as well, and I was like, this is a really small square footage place, like, we can probably fit all your belongings in one trip.
No.
Or was I wrong?
No, okay.
Because I never moved either. I've
been
in the same house for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is wild.
That's good to know. It's all about how you pack, how you organize, what you decide to take apart, all this type of stuff. But that's good to know that, like, it seems like I'm making a safe gamble by giving ourselves more room than less. Because we only got one shot.
Yeah,
we can't just casually make, oh, second trip up, we got to go 22 hours back up. Yeah.
I assume, because this place isn't necessarily being sold, you're not taking, like, all the big furniture down, so that's a little less,
or most of the things, but, like, a lot of, like, the merch room cabinets and stuff we're going to be keeping. But like this couch that we're sitting on, the TV stand, like, literally most of my actual furniture, because, like, I want it to fill that place down there, and yeah, it's just not really gonna, it just is it makes most sense that way, kind of move everything, you know.
Is there any fun plans for when you move down to Arizona? How will the fans be able to see you down there? Are there big events?
I mean, reasonings as to why I'm going down there is, like, more sun. The car scene scaling wise is probably similar to Seattle. Both areas have like Arizona, you have a lot of like retired money like here and there, but then Seattle, you have a lot of like the new tech and like all that kind of stuff. But Seattle has like hidden money, I feel like. A lot, like there could be a Koenigsegg, a Veyron, or something crazy here. We don't see it, you know? There, people go out and events happen. And that was one of the biggest things I just happened to notice is like up in Seattle, we have RTC as the regular scheduled car event. And then like a couple other like random stuff here and there that are either private or just like it's hard to like know about. In Arizona, there seems to be like multiple events happening every single weekend, all year long. And so it just seems like they have a bigger priority on cars just as a whole. Like there's just I think there's genuinely like a lot of enthusiasts and just more like priority to like have car gatherings and the car community like coming together. So, I mean, people will be able to see me at I'm definitely going to be attending these events and, you know, going out and so
Yeah,
it,
that's so beneficial for you when like your
yeah.
whole job kind of consists around networking. It'll be just
Yeah,
naturally
yeah.
easier to do that.
Networking and content and even if all of that was unneeded, I genuinely just do my, you know, a favorite pastime hobby is just to go out to a car event, just to be around cars and, you know, to just hang out. So I'll be doing that anyway.
I question, I don't know a whole lot about Arizona, but I know there's some areas where it can snow, and when it does, it gets a lot. Is that, will it snow down there, or is that like an
It, I
absolute
don't think
no?
it can snow in Phoenix. Like, I think
Okay.
that's like a wild anomaly if that ever does happen. But Flagstaff is only like 2 hours up north, and then it snows there
That's where
like
it snows.
regularly all the time, like in the winter time. Snow basically to access it is literally like 2 hours out of like Phoenix.
So you can use the Raptor if you want to for
Yeah, for
Raptor
that,
vegan
I'm actually
stuff.
excited just to use it for like desert off-roading and stuff. I feel like there's going to be a lot more cool trails and opportunities to use a Raptor down there. As well as I want it to stay around to be able to like tow cars like the Mercy to like LA for like a weekend and to be able to, and then you have your car in LA for a weekend. And it, whereas it's a lot more convenient to do that there than like you can't, you're towing 18 hours down from
Yeah.
Seattle and stuff like that. So.
How is I do have a question for you. I kind of asked a similar question to Scott Carlson on the last episode because he's had his C8 Z06 for about 3 to 4 months, and as people who know you know that you've had
Closer.
your Murcielago for
Oh, farther.
oh, we'll figure it out. You've had your Murcielago for quite a while as well. People who follow you also know the issues and things that you have fixed. How has the experience been owning that? How long has it been? It's been a little bit longer than.
Yeah, it was October because we
Oh,
call it
same
the
month I bought my
pumpkin.
car. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
we call it the pumpkin because it was very October-esque and it's very bright orange. So it's been just luckily there was nothing like awful with the car when I got it that like whether it be like a new clutch or just like significant damage or anything like that. Like it's all just been like little steps on fixing little things I wanted to like we got the car like fully re-PPF'd. We like installed a new head unit. I put on new tires. I just got it serviced, like run through all these little improvements. So it's been good. It like kind of like a typical, I guess, like older exotic. It doesn't tend to just like sit without charge for very long until like it like the battery or something starts to like drain out. So literally, actually, just like the past couple days, my tender, I feel like hasn't been like. Either the connection point on the car or whatever wasn't like fully like triggering it to like give it charge, but we were kind of dealing with the hiccup on like I knew that the car is like just dead enough that it wasn't cranking over, but at this I knew it was a lack of power issue, and then trying to give it that extra power was kind of also becoming an issue. I was like, why isn't it getting it? But I was able to get it to finally charge like the other night, and then it started up, and I took it out and I like, you know, got her all like rejuiced up. So either like I might need to get like a different tender if that might be the issue, or hopefully it's not like something more electronic related. So it is still a car that like, yeah, you do gotta like internally maybe cross your fingers if she's gonna fire up perfectly like every single time. And it also is a car that I want to take on like a rally, like how Scott just took his C8 on. But I'll definitely like try and make sure I have everything aligned and prepped for it. And I'm also gonna be like just aware that like you never know. There might be something that might prevent you from making it to the finish line.
I assume it'd be a more I say in air quotes, reliable car in Arizona just because you'll be able to use it more. Like, it's not going to sit.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get, like, rain for a week, and obviously.
That's the issue, you know, is that, like, it's useless here because it's been, I bought the car basically at the start of winter time here. And so it's not as fast as, like, we just had, like, a Gentura 8 that was twin turbo, like, 800 horsepower. That car is definitely much quicker, like, just speed-wise. But this car, the gearing is super long. I think it's just six, which is why, just six different gears. And, yeah, and they're super long. So by the time you're, like, at the top of, like, third or whatever, you're already going, like, triple digits in speed. So, and of course it's a car though that you want to like ring out the gears and you want to hear all of it. But so like genuinely it's like, it's kind of in quotes, like too fast for the Washington roads around here, especially wintertime. And with just traffic and like, we just don't have that many like straight flat out roads. Whereas Arizona has a lot more of that. But on the counter of that, Arizona is like, it might overheat. I was literally just asking someone like that was down there at a car show. They had an Aventador SV, which I assume is like, you know, the higher end Aventador that, you know, is going to have lesser issues than like your 2012 first generation. But even she was saying how like their car, like for sure, like blew a coolant hose immediately in peak of summer. So the answer to that, though, nighttime driving, nighttime, dawn, just not at the peak hours of the day, you know?
True. Do they have like nighttime events? Is that a thing down there?
They definitely have like nighttime meets and stuff. So like there's that. And then I'm sure there's like maybe some morning cars and coffees, like maybe like before the like the sun comes out or whatever. But I mean, hey, once again, like if the worst case, if the car is less usable throughout those like 3 months or whatever, like of the year, like it's still better than like the car being pretty unusable for like the 7 months out of the year.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like, and you can't do anything about, you can't just go out at night in Washington to solve your wet road issue. No, it's still going to be just as useless at night here. So
and driving up here at night just sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's no good way
around it. I don't know. I'm going to, like, be kind of, I guess, a guinea pig for people around here that, like, may not have as much attachment to this area in that, like, you know, I might leave and I'm just be like, yeah, I don't know why we were up here for this long anyways. But at the same time, it also, I mean, I get it. It has, we have four seasons.
Yeah.
Which Arizona doesn't in a way. And you don't have that groundhog effect of, like, every like people in LA and stuff, they say like you wake up to every day and it's exactly the same and it's just like, you know, you kind of get put in this trance and it's like, I could see how that's a bad thing, you know.
Yeah,
whereas here every day is definitely different. You don't know if you're waking up to blue skies, cloudy skies, whatever.
I think that kind of makes us like appreciate summers in Seattle a little bit more. I mean, I don't, a little biased, but like Seattle in the summer is just like, it doesn't really get better than that. I mean, I'm sure it does somewhere, but like there's just a charm to it that you don't really
I agree. I agree. I literally say, like, you can't beat it because it never usually gets above like 80, 90 degrees and it's just beautiful. And the air quality is amazing. So it's like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of things. There are good things, but at the same time, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I definitely do want to always have a place up here, but there's also part of me that's like, maybe you should get like a little house in SoCal and then like rent it out when you're not down there or something.
Yeah.
I always kind of had a thought that might be fun, and then we did Monterey my first year last year, and then it was like, dude, you really got to spend more time down here.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And so, that wasn't even SoCal. That was like Monterey Car Week, I kind of learned to realize, was like, it's literally like 70% just SoCal that like just migrates up there.
Just scooches up a little bit.
Yeah. And then like the rest of 30% of those, like, you know, they come out of the car haulers and they get transported like across the world. But usually those cars anyways are only going straight to the auctions or like aren't really being, but yeah, it's like if you like Car Week, people in SoCal say like, that's just like almost this area like all year round, which is insane to fathom from being up here.
Yeah. I will say it was wild just knowing like so many people up here and then going down there, like seeing a bunch of more similar faces too in a place so far from home.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I know you. I know you from Avance. Yep. I know you. Like, it's so weird.
The car
it's
culture like is united.
The world is so small. I do kind of want to play a little game only because you showed me these cards on your table.
Okay.
And they were kind of cool. I kind of think it would be fun to play. So I showed up to his house and he's got like this box of what I thought at first were literal Forza Horizon 2 business cards. I was wrong, they weren't, but they're they're little cards, and on the back it has every car in the inventory from Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah.
And we can basically play 21 questions for what car we have.
Yeah.
In our card.
They have every car in the game in this deck. So do you want me to just pull a card
you
some questions?
We might have to come up with like a regular like little game for our guests to play. This kind of
make
my brain start thinking.
All right. Should I show the camera my card?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Show the camera.
The camera what we have here.
Dude, it's definitely a Veyron.
Okay. My first hint is that this car has one of the biggest displacements for an engine.
Ooh,
it's
okay.
Like a huge displacement. Pretty
is it American?
Yeah.
Is it a C6 Z06?
That's a good guess, but no.
No.
So okay. You're on the right path.
Is it a 7-liter?
It's bigger.
Oh. Okay. So it's American. We got a big motor. I don't know why my next question was gonna ask what color. That does not help at all.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Let's see. Is it from Ford?
Nope.
Is it built after the 2000s?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a Chevy?
Nope.
Okay. Damn. Is it a Dodge?
Yes.
Okay. And it's bigger than 7 liters?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Right? Yeah.
Dude,
okay.
The
cameraman, I got the approval, the confirmation.
Yeah. Dude, Can I call a landline? Can I call
help?
It's
so close to... Okay, what's the Dodge Z06 equivalent?
Bigger than 7 liters, though?
Mm-hmm.
Make a... Oh, it's a Viper.
Yes.
Okay.
What generation, though?
That would be the Gen 4, Gen 5.
Is. Well, it is a Gen 5.
Gen 5.
But wouldn't it would it have been any generation?
Yeah.
It's like an 8-liter V10.
Yeah, they're all 8.
Yeah,
I think they're all above 8.
We had a Gen 5 Viper from Forza Horizon 2. So, actually, a little, like, at least some knowledge that can help you with this is that this is some random press deck of cards that has, all the cards from Horizon 2 in it. But if you know that, Horizon 2 came out in 2014, so there couldn't be a card. Yeah, 10 years, that's crazy. There couldn't be a car in here that is newer than that.
That at least can
help. But yeah, I mean, you could pick one for me. We could do one more.
All right, let's see. Now we got to get something good.
Yeah.
Something good in here. Dude, we're going to be here all day if I pick that one. You're never going to guess. All right, I'm going to just pick a random one. That I just pulled the Viper again.
This guy.
All right. I don't think you're ever going to guess this one.
Yeah, okay. You could show the camera, too.
Yeah, show the camera. So far out of his wheelhouse. Or is it in his wheelhouse? Am I trying to bluff him?
Oh.
We'll see. All right. Give me your first question.
Is it North American?
No.
Oh, boy. Is it European?
It's Italian.
Okay, it's Italian. Yeah. Okay. Is it a Lamborghini?
No.
Is it a Ferrari?
It is.
Oh,
it
shoot.
Is
it red?
It's a red Ferrari.
Damn, it's
red.
You
got it. You got it.
Is it a V12?
You know, I don't know. Let me ask the cameraman. Do you think? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. I guess that's a stupid
Our
question.
Our cameraman is the confirmation.
He really is. He really is.
It's a dumb question. So, is it a Enzo?
No.
Is it a LaFerrari?
No.
Okay. Is it?
Is the
V12
that old?
That would be in that game.
Really?
Is the V12 in the front?
Yes.
Did it ever come in manual?
Yes. I assume it only came in manual.
Oh, okay. Is it pre-2000s?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is tough because now we're getting into this. Sounds like a classic. Is it a Ferrari California of some sort?
You would be a 250 California.
Okay,
1957.
Okay, sweet. Yeah.
You want to do one more
Let's
round?
Let's go.
Let's do one more round.
Okay, one more? All right.
I was kind of curious if you'd get that because there's so many 250s and like random.
I don't know my vintage Ferraris
I don't
that
either.
Well, you know?
Tell him to bring out Tom Fathy, dude. Where's he when we need him?
This is I got something that even I know.
There's so many old classics in there that I'm like, I don't even know anything about this car.
Yeah, for real. Okay. I will, if the cameraman wants to come over here, I will show them what we got right here. All right. First question.
Well, I guess country of origin, is it American?
It is German.
It's German. Okay. Well, it's obviously a broken 2014 red Audi S4.
You would be incorrect.
All right. German. Well, we got the big three. Let's see. What kind of motor is in this?
A V8.
V8. Okay. Is it naturally aspirated?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a 6.2?
No.
No.
Right? Or
is our can our cameraman confirm?
Isn't that technically, yeah, it's technically, it's close to a 6.2.
Oh, okay. So it's a 6.3. All right. Is it a W204?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good car.
What
good
trim?
Car. Oh, it's not an AMG? Is that what
it's
you're asking?
It's beyond an AMG, which is like, okay.
Wait. Oh, Black Series?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. It's a W204 C63. Black Series.
Coupe. I don't believe no. Merrick, our cameraman, can confirm, but they didn't make a Black Series sedan.
No.
I assume no. Which sucks, because I would argue the sedan
these
has
are
better body
so,
lines.
These like just disappeared off the face
they're
of the earth.
So good cars. Such good cars.
They're sick.
There's a local C63 AMG up here that Merrick actually photographed, our cameraman. It's got a body kit. Yeah.
Oh.
Very well done. Very well done. Fooled me. All right.
George had a black Zadar. George had a Black Series recently.
Dude, I need me some modern cars. You get the
that's what I'm saying. Well, see, here's the issue. We're stuck behind 2014.
We are.
That's the problem.
Dude, okay, all these are the same. I went by a Aston Martin. Like, don't be peeking.
I'm not peeking. You're actually.
Don't be cheating.
You're not making it easy though.
He's like, yeah, I already saw it. All right. I think this is going to be a good guess. I think you'll figure this one out pretty all quick. Right. We'll see. All right. Hit me with your first question. I'll show the camera.
Is it Japanese?
No.
Is it European?
Italian.
Okay, it's Italian again. Yeah. Is it a Lamborghini?
No.
Oh, is it a Ferrari?
Yeah.
Just oh, like the last again?
One. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is it a front-engine V12 Ferrari?
No.
Okay.
Luckily, no.
Is it a V12 Ferrari of some sort? Okay, it's why is he reacting like that? Why'd you take so long to react? Oh, is it a V8 Ferrari?
Yeah.
Okay, is it a 458 Italia?
It would be.
Yeah,
it would be. Did you ever announce to your YouTube audience that that might have been what was your next car instead of a Murcielago?
Yeah, well, not directly. So I guess the subject matter of what was to come after the Gen 2 R8, because we reached this point at which, like, I was like, okay, I'm for sure, like, content with selling this car. Not that that car did me wrong in any way. I loved it, and I would still, like, if I had all the money in the world, I'd still hold on to it. But yeah, we did everything that you, at least I was happy with doing to that car, and I lived a lot of good memories with it. I did Car Week, like, 3 different times in it, too. So I was like, the Mercy was always, like, for sure, you know, the endgame dream, but they keep on going up in value, and it was just kind of like, oh, I don't know if we actually can make that happen. So we were kind of dealing with, like, cars that would at least be a little bit kind of in between, and 458 was really there, and it's kind of funny. It was only there just for the sake of sound, like, just for, dude, like, doing headers and exhaust and making it sound like a V8 F1 car, you know? Whereas I'm not a Ferrari guy. I don't really like how the doors are, like how they're just so, in comparison to other cars, just in that they're just, you know, the regular doors, and they just don't feel like the handles too. They feel like you could just like pry the handles off too. Yeah. And then the interior, it's like, it's cool, but it's already become a little bit outdated, and it's like half the cars, yeah, they're going to have sticky buttons. The infotainment is extremely outdated, like super outdated too. There are a lot of things about it besides the motor that
Jack,
like
Jack be the guy to say, yeah, the infotainment is outdated, so I got a Murcielago instead.
For real. Exactly. 720S was another contender because they started to really fall. Yeah, they started to really fall, and I was just like, holy cow, I never thought that this car would ever be in reach.
How
that
much
is
have they
just
fallen
to? To like 200s.
Really? Because they were like 350.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah. And they still like new ones are 350, but it's just the McLaren depreciation, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like that car has kind of all the bits that the 458 doesn't, in that it has like, it is a lot more modern. It's got crazy doors. Mm. It's like a spaceship. It's fast. And it still sounds good in different ways. It just didn't, it doesn't scream though. And then you do have like the questionable McLaren reliability, little defects and stuff here and there. So I wasn't sure. Even F12 too, because that also provide like the screamage, but it's a little more of a GT car, so it kind of lacks a little more of like the theatrics that like a mid-engine exotic does. So we had all of these kind of up in the air to like, and all those cars, they like kind of check off some boxes, but not all, as far as like, you know, what I was really like, what is to me the peak supercar that is within that price range. And then we went to Car Week and we talked with a lot of Murcielago people, and they were really like, dude, you got to just go get that car. Like, you just got to go, like, you know, you won't be disappointed. Yeah. And I was like, shoot, I do.
I will say the 720S still has like one of my favorite side profiles.
I think it is aged so incredibly. Like, I actually find it amazing that it was, I guess, one of the quote unquote controversial looking cars when it came out. I guess there were people that didn't like it, but I will stand by saying that is one of the best looking supercars just like ever, even, especially once you like complement the aero with like maybe like a Rift Vorstein or whatever kit, like you just kind of accentuate it a little even more. I'm not really a wide body 720 guy. I think that is too much, but my God, that is a fantastic looking car. It's just so alien in spaceship.
Those headlights. So sick. I think also that car, like, that was the first time we really kind of saw headlights like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, it kind of took a little bit to be like, oh, okay, they do kind of look good. It like kind of caught everyone off guard.
Yeah. Actually, Gray was talking about this, like, and it's kind of like a new thing. To give a reference point on what this is, the Nissan Juke, actually, it represents it perfectly. And it's where you have, like, DRLs as kind of the main light, but then they're too thin, or they're not regulated, like they don't pass. So then you have to have kind of another set of lights somewhere, a little more hidden. And that's what manufacturers are starting to do now. There's a lot of cars that have really sleek like headlight design and stuff. And then you'll just have somewhere else, like on the bumper, just like a set of just bright, like, you know, running lights or high beams or whatever that have to go on. The 720 is kind of like that, in that like you have those slits, but then they wouldn't be enough. So then you have the lights that are just slightly above it that just kind of hang out back there. And then those provide like the actual, but it's becoming a more like, designers are doing that a lot now with like more cars with these kind of sets.
Headlight design in the last like 10 years.
Yeah.
Is insane.
Yeah.
And then
the rear monolight.
Yeah.
That's really taken on the past 2020s and then onward. We're now in the generation of the rear monolight. It's on everything.
We are. It really is. And then the 458, to go back to that, I had never like actually heard one like well till Monterey Car Week last year when we were on 17 Mile. And that one like ripped by us.
Yeah.
When we were like still thinking about what to buy.
Yeah.
And I remember like that car drove by and we were like, I guess you're buying a 458.
Yeah.
That didn't age well.
Yeah. I think it like subjectively is honestly a better sound than like the 5.2 V10s that are in like all the R8s and Huracans. It's just because that V10 is like, it's a very muscly, like it's almost like a muscle car V10. Kind of like the Viper, you know? It just doesn't like scream on the decibels and the pitches like that Ferrari LFA motor could. Yeah. And that Ferrari motor also, what adds into that is like it revs out too to like close to 9 or something, right? I believe. So it's like that, yeah.
I'd love to hear a 458 right next to like a new Z06.
Yeah, really, we were just on the rally with Scott's, and then this other guy had a Catalyst Z06. So I don't know if he had like I think it was a muffler delete with like Catalyst. He like decatted it or something. It was loud, and it was
dude. Cool. And Scott's is loud.
Yeah. Like, and his is stock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started his because he brought his over, and I was like, oh, this is perfect because I wanted to talk to you about this car anyway. Mm-hmm. And then he's like getting ready to leave, starts it, like lets it sit for a little bit. I'm like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Like, in our shop.
Yeah.
Not outside. And then he just revs the shit out of it. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I knew these sounded good because, like, you hear people say they sound good stock. And then he revved his, and I was like, I think I need new pants.
You like, gotta, like, I was very skeptical on that car in that, like, for the same, let's say you both have 150K to spend both directions. Let's say the 458 and the Zios, I guess they're both, like, they could be both 200. So let's say you just both have 200. I was like, I would still take a 458 just because, like, it's still a Ferrari. I think it'll just hold better. It's just got, like, that character, that historic branding that, like, you know, you're paying into and all this kind of stuff. But, like, the C8 has proven itself, the Z06 has proven itself to me a lot just by just hear one in person. Like, if you're, like, if you share that same skepticism that I do about that car, just hear a Z06 in person, mm-hmm. and I swear it will like change something for you. Like,
that's
it'll
perfect.
Just change your opinion.
If we're ever in a situation where we're together and then someone gives us an option of like a 4.8 or a Z06, that's perfect, because then you can just take the Ferrari, I'll take the Corvette.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's
exactly
my choice. Both for very good reasons.
Yeah.
What is, I wanted to ask him because I was curious, maybe you would know, but like on the C8, you can get either a convertible or the hardtop, but the mm-hmm. hardtop is a removable hardtop. So why would
yeah.
you ever get a convertible?
Because you can put it up and down by the press of a button without having to get out of the vehicle.
But like,
I don't know. I don't know how much more. Yeah, I don't know how much more it costs you. And depending on how much more that costs you, yeah, you can argue it's kind of
like
a waste of money.
At least 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be.
It still looks good.
It does look good.
And yeah, I don't know. You're right. But it's also funny too. Like, go back to even the C6s, right? Like, it's just like you can yeah. have, they all have, you could have a Targa and then you could have like a full convertible C6 with the fully flat, like, you know?
Yeah.
And like, even that, the issue, that's even worse because it's a soft top.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah,
like,
it
I don't even know. That's like there's nothing more boomer than like the same factory chrome wheels on a C6 Stingray with like a soft top and like some like beige
Dude,
paint or something like that.
So there's a local C6 base that like has been around my neighborhood recently.
Yeah.
And it is like a light blue.
Yep.
With the chrome wheels.
Yep.
With the tan soft top.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I saw him like pull into the local post office and I watched him get out and I'm like, this dude's gonna look like every Corvette owner. He did. Like,
he did.
Exactly.
He
and I was
it.
Like,
the bar.
You know what? I love that for you.
Yeah.
Like, typical Corvette dude.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? Like, is there another car that they have like a stereotype like that for? I can't really think.
Cars with stereotypes?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot.
We had,
I mean,
like Audi and
endless.
Beamer. Because Jeremy Clarkson had like that bit in Top Gear where it was
yeah.
like Audi and Beamer drivers would just be nerds.
Yeah, I heard in an interview once, and I think this is pretty like correct, where it's like he was like, BMW drivers are winners. Like, they love to win. And I guess that's just his way of saying they're very competitive. But like that, I think that's very like accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, BMW guys are very competitive in a way like that. I've always seen Audi people as like, you're like full on tuxedo, like businessman going to like his corporate office or whatever, like in like an Audi or something
yeah.
like that. And then Mercedes are kind of like, I guess like, for the elegant and lavish or mm-hmm. like the, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fitting. I do own an Audi and a real estate license.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they all have sense. People that break them too, as yeah. it as breaks the stereotypes or breaks the cars.
Do you have any, just curious, I know you recently just bought a new car. Is there any ideas rolling around your head of like, I want to scratch this itch next?
You're like, I want to scratch a Porsche itch.
Really?
Very.
I like
because I have the Murcielago now.
Yeah.
Like the, like, I guess a Porsche could have been another one of those contenders that I could have bought before the Murcielago as kind of like the exotic slot. But the issue is that for one exotic, it's not exotic enough for me, in that growing up around Seattle, Bellevue, there's Porsches everywhere here. There's 911s everywhere here. RTC,
they're
they fill
literally
up
like
two
Priuses.
Rows. They're just everywhere. So it's like you get very desensitized to the 911, especially like my whole life growing up. Just like how maybe other people in the Midwest get desensitized to Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I've been fortunate to have driven both a GT3 and a GT3 RS. Shout out to our friend Gray. And here's a funny complaint. It has too much visibility.
How is that a complaint?
It's when you're so, but here's my take on it is that when you're in it though, you genuinely, it just feels too normal. It just feels too casual because you have so much visibility. You have so much light in. You just feel like after like when, if you're just sitting at a stoplight after a while, like you could just almost start to ever so slightly feel like you're kind of sitting in like a, I don't know, just a more regular, ordinary car.
Like the Exorcist and Murcielago have like trained you to feel like you shouldn't
the,
be able
and,
to
and,
see
but
anything.
Like, and that's what's cool is that that's what's cool about the Camaro is that you can't see out of it.
Yeah.
But the like low, sleek space coupe visibility combined with the ambient lighting and everything, like when you're inside of that car, it feels like an experience. And then, of course, when you're inside of a Murcielago, it feels like a fighter jet. Mm. It feels like you got, you know, just like the way that you, it just sets the tone, it sets the vibe, it sets your environment, and these things kind of matter to which, like, I just, like, I don't like that feeling of, like, if I'm in one exotic in, like, a Porsche, it's like, if it just starts to feel a little more casual than, like, the crazy Lamborghini that could be providing the more, like, memorable or, like, lively experience or whatever. Granted, I'm sure once you're driving a GT3 RS on back mountain roads, there's nothing about that feels ordinary or whatever. But that's the reality of it, is that you don't, you're not always driving. You're driving, you're cruising on freeways a lot. You're just cruising in, you know, regular city town traffic, all this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of exotics out there that I guess kind of make that regular ordinary grocery getting experience feel a lot more absurd and just insane. And that's what I just genuinely, like, you know, that's something that I at least, like, kind of value. All this to say that because the Murcielago has checked all of that off and we have that now.
Yeah.
Additionally, now I'm like, okay, to have a Porsche there, oh, give it to me. Like, give it to me all day long. I think there's nothing, like, better than, like, this combination of this absolute spaceship dysfunctional, like, car that is the Lamborghini. And then to pair it with this very functional, practical, serious business, like, race car, which would be, like, a Porsche of some sort.
So what Porsche then?
I like a lot of different Porsches for a lot of different price values. What would be most realistic for my wallet right now would be, like, something around, like, the 50K range, which would get you into, like, a 997 C2S, like, manual. Mm-hmm. And then you could actually do a lot of cool, like, build routes with that, with that, whether it be, like, you know, certain fascia, wheels, all this kind of stuff. On the higher tier, a dream to sit next to the Murcielago would be a 997 GT3, which is, like, they're so expensive. They're like 140 or whatever.
Could you get a 996 turbo manual? Is that?
You could, but I don't know if I'd like that much. Like, I think that it would actually be a little bit too soft. Like, I don't know. I haven't driven it. But the thing with the turbos is that they're very, like, what do you call it? They're, like, the everything car.
Yeah.
They, like, kind of do everything really well. Whereas, like, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have other automobiles where it's, like, I want my Porsche to not feel so, like, you know, that I'm fine if it's, like, a raw GT3, you know, that, like, it could be, like, a weekender or whatever. My other two dream Porsches would be, 997 GT3 or a 991.2 manual GT3.
Yeah.
That's really, like, that... Like, yeah, I don't think there is anything more I could ever ask for in the whole fleet of things. Like, if that, if that was there, but obviously, you know, it's another six-figure car. So
it is. Yeah. Those are those are both good cars.
Make that appear out of nowhere.
I mean, at least I don't think I could be wrong. Time will tell, but I mean, those aren't going down in value anytime soon. Maybe the 1.2, maybe because it's newer.
Yeah, maybe the .2. I mean, they're still now making manual GT3s. So, yeah, like, maybe. But, yeah, I've always, like, I'm definitely, I've been becoming a more manual-spirited guy over the more recent years. So, I mean, the beauty of a Porsche is that a PDK is not going to, like, compromise or, you know, risk anything. But I just think, like, there's something about, especially because their manuals are just so well-built.
They're so good.
Yeah, so it's, like, either that. But, yeah, so we'll see. But I do think, like, it wasn't until the Mercy got into the stable when I was like, okay, now I'm really getting the Porsche itch now. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, now it's, like, as a complementary, like I was just saying, dysfunctional car and then functional car. Like, they suit each other well.
It doesn't help when we're out on drives and then Gray rips by you in a 3.
Yeah, exactly. Nope,
like, your wallet cries when you hear that because it sounds so good. Granted, his has a exhaust on it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. IPE. What I will say that I'm going to try and go for as long as time goes to never own, as far as a brand, is a BMW.
Really?
because everyone has
everyone
them.
In the group.
Everyone around me. Everyone in our group has them. Everyone around me. Everyone in general. Everyone on the internet. Just the G80s and stuff. It's like, the G80 is so ugly. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, they're everywhere now. And it's just like everyone, like, still bought into it.
It doesn't make them not ugly. FYI.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main issue is that I think they provide a lot good functional driver's car for the money. And I think what is, like, this is a very, like, you know, this is a first world problem alert, like, but, like, I've kind of overridden, like, some of the chassis with what I own, in that, like, the BMW that I always thought I would love to own is an E9X platform with the V8, but I have my Camaro now. And I think that checks off that type of car for me.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, and a lot of them. And then it's like the other chassis, they just have like issues as far as like, I feel like they were never paired properly as far as, oh, let's make a freaking V10 in a BMW.
With a SMG.
But oh yeah, but like the looks of it, like the 6 and the 5 were very controversial. I don't want to go on the limb and say like, oh, they put a V10 in just an absolute ugly like chassis. But I will say that they definitely haven't been known to be the best looking BMWs, the E60s of the time.
I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the sound of BMW's V10?
I think it sounds good. It's not like, yeah, no, it's no LFA, and it's no like, and it sound better than a 5.2 like from the Lamborghinis or the R8. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It has, sometimes people could put exhaust on them that make them sound like super tinny or like a little bit like.
I'm only curious because we were at like Washington Cars and Coffee today, and there were two BMW V10s there, and Travis and I were like, yeah, I don't really like the way they sound. And Merrick, our cameraman, was like, that's great. I love that car. It sounds so good.
I think it still sounds better than a lot of other motors out there. Fair, but yeah. Like, yeah, because it's tough. Like, how do you screw up a V10? I think a lot of, there's a lot of exhaust combinations that can, though, for that motor for whatever reason.
Well, there was both of them there. Like, one of them must have had a cheap eBay exhaust. And then the other one had a really good. And I was like, oh, that sounds way different.
Yeah. But I've had this take that, like, okay, they made the i8. I think that's actually a beautiful looking car, or I think that's, it's aged pretty well. It still looks very modern for its time. It's got doors that go up. It's pretty cool. Oh yeah, let's just put a freaking 3-cylinder in it.
Right.
Ruin that. They made the M4, the F80 platform. Amazing looking cars too. Absolute weed whackers. Gorgeous they put cars. In them. Like, yeah. Like they are some of the worst sounding cars.
If we could have got that with the E90.
Yeah. It does, it's once again another exhaust issue. Like if you single turboed one of those cars, they sound like an RB26 or a 2J. But like most people don't do that, and that's a lot of money. It's a lot of reliability issues you're asking for.
Yeah.
So my consensus is just like they have a lot of the mixing game of like the, what do you call it? If you like pinpoint the lines together, the motors and the chassis and like certain things, they never seem to align well on BMWs. They're always like, okay, this motor would be great if it was put in. Like imagine the S65. Or, wait, no, is it S65? That's a V8, right? What's the V10?
Mary,
what's the V10
know this
again?
Better.
S85. The S85. Imagine the S85 V10 from the E60s in like the E46 M3.
Yeah,
that would be godly, because the E46 is one of the best looking cars like of all time, or at least from BMW. And then it's just like, imagine like, oh.
That would. You mentioned the i8. I'm curious. Have you ever seen the picture that shows that the i8 looks like it's birthing a 911 from the rear?
I've heard something like this.
Because it might ruin the car like for you.
Oh, yeah. In that little wait, that's so funny.
You're never going to be able to unsee that.
Yeah, I won't unsee that.
Ever.
That is so funny.
Ever.
But yeah. Yeah, I've never minded the way that it looks, though, overall. Like, if that was BMW's actual exotic, I think it would hold up pretty well against, like, an R8 or something like that.
I'm bummed we never got, like, because there were some articles written recently. Actually, none of them really like popped off or went viral, but
yeah,
there was an article recently that went out of like some renders and what the plans were like for the i8, or it was either for the i8 or after the i8 before it got switched to a 3-cylinder hybrid.
Yeah,
and it was actually like a good car.
Yeah. Well, it's just so sad because I'm sure every YouTuber has the idea of like, oh, what if we like V8 swap an i8 or whatever? The issue is that you can't because of the monocoque chassis of like how it was all framed. It was designed to fit in a 3-cylinder, so you can't just make room. And it's funny because there is a V8 i8 race car out there, but the reality of that car is that it's actually an E92, I believe, but they literally just swapped an i8 front end and rear end on the framing of the car, so it really isn't an i8 like at all.
It's just a shell.
It's just like some like added on, like not even the shell, it's actually shell bits, like it's fascia bits that were added onto the, you could tell the shape of it looks wrong because it's not an i8.
I kind of
want to
look this up later.
Yeah,
Tavares, hearing you say you can't v8 swap an i8 right now, like watch me.
Like by all means go for it, that'd be a cool car.
I'm kind of, that's like the one car brand where I'm like, I wish we saw like a supercar from them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they could do something good. Like there's so much potential.
That might be the BMW that Jack Ultramotive actually likes.
That might. That might.
But yeah, I think the more I'm surrounded by the quote unquote hype that continues to grow that brand, and also the worse like these vehicles they are outputting looks because they're just outputting monstrosities.
They look ugly.
Yeah, but I do think it's genuinely like I want to try and hold on to that being like, yeah, I've owned a lot of different diverse cars and I'm just going to stay away from BMW as long as I can.
Yeah. What if like an E46 M3 did pop up?
That would be tempting. That would be like a E46 M3, and I hate to admit it, but like a manual G80. Because like I'm a sucker for at least like the contemporary refinedness, so like you get like a very nice modern luxury car with all that, and it's fast, mm-hmm. and it's manual, and then it's also a four-door sedan, so you could haul the homies around all the time and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, still, when you could be looking at that, then there's E63s, or there's like Audi, you know, there's other Audi alternatives. There's always like some good alternatives to that too. So it's
tough because like there are alternatives, but then like manual.
Yeah. Is there? Yeah. I think that actually is it. I think it holds itself good because now they're becoming like 70K.
They are. There. Yeah. I rode in a Will Poff. He was on Express Rally with us. He wasn't because he broke his arm. Silly Will. but he has a Isle of Man green one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I rode in that one, and it is like, it's such a good car. But yeah. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm sitting inside of it right now, so I don't have to look at your front bumper.
There you go.
But they're so good.
Yeah.
They're just good all around.
They're good driver's cars. They're fast. And yeah.
She looks so cute sitting there. For the audio listeners, Jack has three cats in his house, and one of them is laying so eloquently in his windowsill. Cutest thing ever. If you do end up down in Arizona and you only have two cats, you know where to find the other one.
Yep. know where it'll be.
Don't come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. I think we're going to top off this podcast with one more round of 21 questions of cars. I feel like we can't end it on just two. We're doing one more. I shouldn't open them that way because then you'll see. Oh, wait. No, we're good. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. Okay. Give me your questions.
Oh, shoot. Is it North American?
No.
Is it British?
No.
Is it Japanese?
No.
Is it Asian?
No.
Is it European?
Yeah.
Is it Italian?
Italian, yeah.
My gosh. Is it a Ferrari?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well.
Oh.
No.
Is it a Maserati?
Yes.
Is it an MC12?
There we go. That was
no way.
Quick. Yeah.
The welt gave
the
that
well,
away.
Yeah,
because yeah, it's an Enzo somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Dude, good car.
I love that.
I know I'm on the unpopular opinion for this, and you probably won't agree with me, but and the other two people behind the podcast said also probably won't agree. I don't like the look of the Enzo Ferrari.
Oh yeah, I can see. That's a childhood dream car for me, and I can't I can't confidently say, "Oh, it was one of the best looking cars ever." Because like I can actually understand how it's a weird looking car, how it's funky.
It's weird,
but like, it's beautiful at some angles, and then some other angles, it's like it has some off points.
And then you have the MC12, which is perfect because it's literally.
I don't know about that.
It's a good looking Enzo with a removable roof.
I think the MC12 is just as controversial, but. It does have a removable roof.
A
I was going
to
say,
roof,
if
to
you were
going to
say
motor,
that it was controversial to call it MC12 or just like to appreciate it, I would say it's not even because the people who buy them would actually support that in that they are now $4 million.
Are they really that much now?
Yeah.
Holy
they're insanely, because I don't know how many they've made, but there's not a lot.
No.
That car has like sentimental value to me in that like my dad, when we would play System Link, PGR 3 and 4 back in the day when he first introduced me to an Xbox 360, he would always choose an MC12 on the game. Mm-hmm. And so like that was always like his choice. And then like, man, you ever became like a billionaire or something, I would love to like somehow source one for that. I'd just be like that like internal like, oh, that'd be cool. But
I remember
it's a cool
using
car.
System Link on my 360 for the first time.
Yeah, like what's Xbox
those were
Live
the days.
Nah.
yeah
exactly. But yeah, that's a cool car, and you never
they
get
are.
To see them.
Do you? I mean, I assume there's probably none here in Washington. Maybe there is.
I'm probably the only person in the world, besides the people that were on the rally with us, that just got absolutely like freaking overtaken by an MC12 Corsa.
I remember
in the middle
of
like Idaho, like in the middle because like Chris, actually, I think he's a sensitive.
Should I censor that?
No. There's been some allegations going on about those guys recently. But anyways, he took a, yeah, the, one of the teams took a MC12 course on Gold Rush Rally last year. And he fully, like, full rally and driving it on the street and then fully, like, overtaking us, like, in oncoming, just getting, like, I don't know what it is, too. It's crazy how, like, race cars sound crazier than like even some like that car sounds crazier than like how a Mercy V12 does, but in just like all these different ways that I feel like it's because of a race car, like either the transmission as well as the tune, like all this other stuff. It's godly.
Did the Corsa, do you know, did it have climate controls or did
I don't know
AC?
I hope it did, but it was extreme
because it was hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely is raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it caught on fire at one point going when they were out on a track day out at Utah, like as a part of the rally. And they extinguished it, and then he had his repairman fix it all up, and then they unloaded it again, and they got back on the road.
I respect that.
Yeah, it was pretty wild stuff. But
I don't like
this
that
car
face.
This car has orange wheels.
From factory?
Yeah.
Is it Italian?
No.
So it's not that weird Fiat thing. Orange wheels from factory.
Yeah.
Would this car have been in Forza Horizon, the original?
Yeah. I think
that's
so.
A very uncertain. Yeah.
It came out right around that time period.
What's our country of origin on this?
Oh, that's tough.
What do you mean?
I decline. It's European.
Okay.
There's so many things I could say about this, but it just gives it away. It's a very unique car.
Are the orange wheels because it's like a high trim, like a sporty track type trim? Okay. And it's not a Fiat? What was the other one with the orange wheel? Is it black?
Yeah.
Otherwise, and it has orange accents.
Yeah.
I know the car in my head.
Well, then.
But
say
I don't know what it's called. It's like a small, like, hot hatch.
Nope.
No?
You're thinking of a Citroën DS1.
I was.
Aren't you? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is French, right?
Yeah. This car has French.
Has
Frenchisms to it.
Was this made after the 2000s?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't like this. So we're declining the country of origin, but
just ask more questions. You're gonna ask something eventually that I'm just—it's gonna forcefully give it
away.
Is
it small? Like it's not a hot hatch. You said.
It's kind of
like a sedan coupe. What's our body
style? It's a two-door. It's a two-door. It's a very big two-door car.
Big two-door with orange wheels. That has Frenchisms. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, if it has orange wheels, it would naturally have French.
Yeah.
Let's see. Can I ask for the... I don't want to ask for the manufacturer. I feel like that would be too...
Oh, yeah. That would completely give it
that
away.
That would just... Yeah. Would this car have been available in manual?
Nope.
Do you know? No? Just auto?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a two-door. How many seats?
Two.
Two seats, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a convertible?
No.
No? Not a convertible? I don't like this. Can I, do you guys, does our cameraman behind the camera have any questions? Well, you already
know
it. You already know it.
Damn.
Okay.
My guys just got to think of more questions.
Dude, I really do. So it's a two-door, is it, I assume it's front engine?
No.
Oh.
Engine's behind, in the middle.
Is it a Renault?
No.
Damn. In the middle. Okay.
Oh. You're thinking too small of scale here.
Is it a Porsche?
No.
What? Dude.
Porsche has rear engine cars too, usually.
They do, but they have mid engine. Is it like front mid or rear mid?
Oh, God.
It's
that
rear
mid? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is front mid like an F12?
Yeah, like
okay,
an SLS
okay,
AMG.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Like,
yeah. Get a load of this guy. He doesn't know a thing about cars.
You're not. You haven't asked like one like question that could completely give this car away. At least a couple things.
Shoot. What side is the steering wheel on?
Oh
my god. It's, I don't know. It's on the left. It depends on where it was spec'd of origin. I don't know.
So you could have had it here.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been some here, so
there
yeah.
There has?
Yeah.
Dude.
Can you dive into the car a little bit?
Asking. What material are the seats?
No! Dive into the powertrain.
You know what? I didn't ask about that yet.
Oh my god.
So it's a small car, it's a two-door, so probably has like a six-cylinder.
More.
More? Is it an eight?
More.
Whoa. Is it a 12?
More.
Whoa. Is it a Bugatti Veyron?
Yes!
Okay! I feel so dumb.
Oh my god! It's a super
the
sport!
The only other car with orange wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just French. You could have...
Is okay. it just French or is it French Italian?
It's French. Okay.
French, German, Italian. Bugatti is so
fair.
Confusing
yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
it has to do with, I feel like their nationality has to do with their history, which it like goes all over the place.
It does.
And then it is a Volkswagen.
It is. Yeah. That's fair.
So then it's also like,
damn.
I remember we got one that was a Mini. And I was so confident in thinking that it was German because I was like, oh, it's a BMW. And then it was like, oh, wait, they're British the whole time. Like, they're the most British car. I was like,
yeah.
And then I like threw people off with it. But yeah, that yeah. took a minute.
That did take a minute. Well, right, I don't, man, we got to end on that. That was a good round.
Yeah.
I feel dumb. It's going to be a great way to leave. Well, that's a good episode. Where can they find you if they want to?
Jackal Tremotive on YouTube. Jackal Tremotive
on
Instagram.
I meant your address. In
oh, oh,
I'm
oh.
kidding. I'm kidding.
123 Playground Street.
yeah. His social medias will be in the description. Obviously, just look up Jackal Tremotive. You'll find him. Or Jackal Tregamer, because you're still doing gaming content, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed you haven't posted in 11 days, so if you could hurry up and get on that.
I guess so.
Because the kids are waiting.
Yeah, if anyone's curious, like, that channel is, like, literally, we just post whenever we record or whenever we make videos in that, like, I guess my main channel is more so there's a mindset of, like, oh, I should probably post now or whatever, get to it. The gaming videos is, like, oh, okay, let's hop on
yeah.
tonight.
You
like,
don't
or
hop
just,
on?
Like, oh, happy we happen to get a video. Or, yeah. Like, yeah, it's very just, like... But honestly, that's where more quality comes.
I was going to say, I assume
you're
the quality
is better. It's not being so forced.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for watching. I think episode 2 went rather well. Episode 3 will come out. So this will drop not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. So we'll have some time. Stay tuned for episode 3, which will drop the next Tuesday after that, crazy enough.
Sweet.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys in the next one. Later.
Boom.
Man, I feel so stupid. Yeah. I feel so stupid.
Was...
4 minutes.
Yeah. I laughed so hard when you looked at the 458 and you asked, is it a V12? And you went, and I'm like, no,
dude.
It's
well, okay, there was part of me that was like,
the whole thing of the 458.
Yeah.
There was part of me that was like, oh, it's a Ferrari, it's a V12. And then I was like, wait, what? No, you idiot, that's a V8.
I was just like, dude, I could say this was once the fastest.